Welcome to Health Matters, the Mental Health Edition. I'm your host, Dr. Shelley Visconti, licensed psychologist, counselor, and marriage and family therapist. Tonight, we're going to explore holistic mental health, especially around the holidays. That's very important. So that's an important topic for us to discuss, see if we can get our stress down and get ready for the holidays. So as our guest this evening, we have fitness guru, personal trainer, and owner of DC Bodies, Daniil Rianga. And we also have health kinesiologist, emotion code practitioner, and energy healer, Denise Kilnotsky. And I just butchered your name. I'm sorry. Say it for us, please.
Kilnotsky.
Okay. I was so confident about it. And then it just, anyway. So, Daniil, I'm going to start with you. Tell us a little bit about you, what you do.
I am a mom of four. I'm a personal trainer out of the Sportsplex in Bossier, and we specialize in weight training, but we also help people achieve their fitness goals, help them get on a better eating plan, help them, de-stress their life. You know, we kind of handle it all there.
Well, and I hope I'm a walking billboard for you because because you have helped me get into better shape, and I appreciate that.
Yes.
And Denise, tell us a little bit about you and what you do.
Well, I am retired from the U.S. Air Force, and while I was active duty, I actually suffered from fibromyalgia, and the medication just made me even more tired, so I started looking for alternatives, and I found health kinesiology. Within a month, all of my symptoms were gone, and I was able to be weaned off the medication. So I took a training course, became certified as a health kinesiologist, and I've taken a lot of courses since then in other modes of, you know, energy healing. And my forte, my specialty is actually in de-stressing the human energy body and everything that makes us not function like we should.
Yeah. And I think that that's important around the holidays because it's so stressful. There just aren't enough hours in the day. And so it may not be a significant mental health problem that someone deals with all year long, but it may be just kind of a temporary stress or difficulty just around the holidays because of the nature of the holiday. So I thought it was important to do this show to give people some tips about things that they can do around this hectic time of year to kind of help them get through until 2018. So I'd like to invite our listeners to call at 1-800-552-8502 with your comments and questions about holistic mental health. I also have a few people who I've asked to call in and maybe share some of their wisdom with us as far as aromatherapy and massage therapy. So we would love to hear from them also. So one of you, if you could answer this question, what is the difference between holistic treatments and kind of more traditional medical or mental health treatments?
This is Denise talking. Well, holistic looks at the whole person, the body, the mind, their spirit, their lifestyle, whereas traditional medical treatment is looking at whatever your symptom is, and their treatment method is medicine normally. And so a lot of the people that come to me are suffering from anxiety and stress, and they see counselors, they're on medication, but the medication doesn't make them feel good. So they're looking for alternative ways to deal with the stress. And it's like a complementary therapy. It's not alternative. You know, you don't do holistic treatment instead of medicine. Mm-hmm. They work together. And one of the things, too, about the work that I do is if a person has to take, like, anxiety medication and they have a lot of side effects, we can balance the energy system so that their body doesn't react as negatively to the medicine, so it can work more harmoniously.
So maybe if a medication is causing sedation, is that what you're kind of talking about?
Well, no, if it gives them, like, really dry mouth,
okay. Mm-hmm.
If it makes them nauseous,
okay.
Things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, medications are toxic to the body. They're not an herb. So the body has to process that and deal with it. And a lot of times it creates more toxicity in the body. And that's where all of the, you know, working out and the exercise
right.
helps, because it helps them to sweat that stuff out of their body as
right.
well.
Yeah. Daniil, did you have anything to add to that?
Nope. That's That's about what I was going to say. You know, it's all the whole mind, body, everything. And then the traditional is, like she said, just wanting to treat with medication. And that's not always the answer for everything, you know.
Yeah. Well, and some people may not need medication. Right. Like I said, it may not be an ongoing major depressive disorder or something like that. They just may need a little extra boost, a little extra help along the way. So what about, you know, I've heard people talk about the mind-body connection. What does that mean to y'all?
This is Danielle Ryinga talking. The mind-body connection to me is when you can actually physically feel like, in say, weight training. We always say you think about the muscle. If you can think about that muscle and contract that muscle will grow more. It will. You can feel it. You know, so that you got to be able to connect your mind and get it in sync with your body and in your muscles, and it will help in everything else.
Yeah, and from the holistic perspective, if a person has a really negative attitude about weight training, dieting, exercise, I mean,
it's
I'm raising my hand, right?
Right.
And so if I embark on any sort of healthy weight loss change or anything, I will work on clearing the trapped energy in my body that is in resistance to the changes that I want to make or some behavior that I want to change. And, you know, people don't really understand about energy in the body. We are energetic beings.
Right.
And it's like a light bulb. If the light bulb was turned out, you know, there's you can
darkness.
Click. You can quick. Yeah. And you can keep, you know, clicking on the switch, but nothing's going to happen. The other thing, too, is that if you've got one outlet and 20 different plugs plugged into it through an extension cord, there's energy being drawn from that from so many different, you know, areas. Mm-hmm. And our bodies are like that. You know, we have so much stress in our life, from the kids to the job to, you know, and we get through at the end of the day and then we sit down and we watch some crime show, right? When do we ever, you know, relax?
Like, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So with energy therapy, I'm almost like the body electrician. I'm finding out, you know, what energy circuits are blown, what light bulbs need to be replaced.
Right.
To help support the person's desire to achieve a healthy weight loss, a healthy, you know, behavioral change or whatever. So we would make a really good team.
Yes, like I always say, you have to have a positive mindset, and changing the way you think about things as far as I'm going to start a diet. As soon as you say that, everybody's like shuts down. Nobody wants to do it. They have this negative thought in their head. Now, if you say, I'm going to get on a healthier eating plan, that sounds easier, you know, something that you can still enjoy your food, but it's not going to be traumatic. A lot of people associate dieting with being traumatic, you know, and it's never going to work. Whenever you can't change your mindset about how you think about things, then it's not going to be achieved.
Well, yeah, and in counseling, I will have patients sometime come in and they want to make these big dramatic changes and exercise or diet or, you know, whatever. And I always tell them, start small. Because you're going to get burned out.
Right.
If you go just gangbusters, you're going to get burned out because this has to be something that sticks with you.
Right.
You're going to fizzle out.
The saying, Rome wasn't built in a day.
Yeah.
You know, we live in a society now that everybody wants instant gratification. It's like you can touch your phone and you can buy something right now, or you can check your Facebook and see what's going on with everything. Go to the drive-thru and get food right then. You know, fitness and your getting your mind and your body all right, it's going to take time. Mm-hmm. You know, it didn't happen overnight that you got to a point where you needed to lose some weight or you needed to de-stress your life. You know, you have to take the time that it took to build or get to that point, you know, so.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I usually say something similar to my patients.
Right.
That, you know, it took a little while to get here.
Right.
So it's going to take a little while to get out of here.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and you said something interesting earlier, Denise, that I want to touch on again. So I enjoy spending time with you, Danielle. Mm-hmm. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
But I really don't enjoy exercise.
Right. Right.
And that's something that I've really been working on, trying to actually enjoy
the
exercising. And so, but you said something about clearing energy or getting in the right, explain that to me.
So when I'm working with the client, what I'm looking for is the root cause as to why there is that resistance, for example, to exercising. And I know when I worked on it myself, being retired military and being forced, you know, to work out and exercise and stuff, there was such a resistance, like, okay, I'm retired now, I don't have to do it anymore.
So almost like a rebelliousness.
Right. Yeah. So I had to keep digging and digging and getting to the root cause of why I was rebellious.
Right.
But the interesting thing is that it wasn't just from my military years. It goes way back to childhood. You know, when mom's yelling at me saying, just go outside and play, get some exercise. You know, and so, you know, I was equating that with, well, she's just trying to get rid of me. Right. So if we can pull that root out, then it doesn't bother us anymore.
That's very interesting. I'm just, so now I'm like thinking about is when I was a child.
Like when you were in school and you had to run and pee and you just didn't like it.
I was always the kid that came in last. I was always the kid that got picked last for the kickball team and that kind of stuff. So that makes sense. Interesting. Very interesting. So, Danielle, tell us a little bit about just the general benefits of being physically active and being physically healthy, and talk to us a little bit about that.
There are several benefits. You know, of course, working out and being active and physical, it increases your serotonin levels in your body. Well, that's the good stuff. That's what you want. You know, that helps you with everything from digestion to sleep to mental clarity to energy. You know, it has so many more benefits. You know, women tend to be scared of weight training. They think, oh, I'm going to get bulky. I don't want to be manly. Well, that's a myth. Unless you really, really like push that, then you can achieve that. But that's not really what that lifting a little weights is not going to do that. But it also helps your bone density. Mm-hmm. You know, we as women, we have low vitamin D usually. And a lot of older women have to be on some kind of medication to help with that. Working out will help those bones stay harder longer, also helping with back issues. A lot of people have back issues. Well, they haven't really worked their back, you know, to build that muscle around that spine to keep that in place. So, you know, it has weightlifting and training has so many more benefits than people give it credit for. You know, it's something that's not very easy, but it can be achieved. You know, you just, like you said earlier, you have to start small, start with small goals, and then go more and more and more, you know.
I want to invite our listeners to call in with your question or comment. The number is 1-800-552-8502. And tonight we are talking about holistic mental health and just general health. So it's interesting what you said, Danielle, because I found that when I work out, I have osteoarthritis, I have some back problems, and I do feel better. I have much less pain in my joints and so forth when I'm working out. And when I kind of slack off, I can
tell a difference.
Yeah, coming back. Yeah.
One good thing is, though, when you start back, that muscle has memory and it comes back quicker than when you started out.
Yeah, and I wanted to follow up on your serotonin comment. You know, that's a neurotransmitter.
Right.
And it's an important neurotransmitter that we have, and it's also associated with depression.
Yes.
And so not only is that boost in serotonin going to be beneficial at other parts of your body, but also in your general mood.
Right.
Yeah. So, what about that? I mean, depression and anxiety, is exercising, I mean, how much is that going to help?
It helps more than what you really, like you said, you think, like small things like you're with your body and stuff. It helps more than what you really know. Like, you know, it's hard for some people to handle certain situations, but if you come and work out for maybe an hour, then you can process it a little bit better and think, oh, wow. That's what I was saying about the mental clarity. It helps clear your mind out, you know, so that you can process everything a little bit better. You know, the depression and anxiety, many people struggle with that, you know, and being active, getting active really helps with that, you know.
Yeah, and pain is associated with depression.
Yes.
So if you do have some decrease in general pain, then that's going to also, you know,
right,
help your mood. So what about sleep? You know, being active, how does that, I know when I leave from working out with you, I'm exhausted and I want to go to bed.
Right.
I sleep like a rock.
Uh-huh. It does. It helps with your sleep. Granted, there's some people that take the pre-workout or something like that to get through the workout, and that'll make you not go to sleep. But if you just go in there and work out at like maybe an hour after you get through working out, you'll feel calm, and it'll help you ease into nighttime routine, you know, getting into bed and sleeping more sound.
But I'm not necessarily working out and then immediately going and
because after you work out, you're kind of on an energy high, mm-hmm, you know, and so it takes about an hour to calm down from that. And then you'll realize, you know, you'll go home, you'll eat your dinner, you know, you'll take your shower or whatever you get, whatever your nighttime routine is. And then you'll sleep more sound at, mm-hmm, night, you know, after you've calmed down from that, mm-hmm, workout.
And I believe that we have a caller. We have Linda from Longview. And Linda, you go right ahead with your question or comment.
Okay, I didn't know I was going to be listening to you today. I do have a question. I used to work out all the time, did weights, used to walk, I did a circuit thing, tip-top shape. I've never been a runner, but I would walk like 3 miles just about every day. But I'm quite a bit older now and have not been active exercising because I have a bad knee that I've kind of favored. But I really have a question. I really need to get back into all of this, and I don't think it would be as difficult, and I'm glad to hear you say, remind me that our muscles have a memory, to get back into shape like I used to be. But this is kind of off. I'm not sure if this is in your area. If I ever have a Coke or a big glass of tea, like from one of the places here in town, I feel like I can feel that in my body, and I don't know if it's depleting. I've read about magnesium and the iron in our body, and also the B12, how some of these things kind of cleat out the minerals and vitamins in our body. Can you explain a little of that to me?
That is not my area of expertise. However,
it's not. Okay.
No. But the ladies here are nodding their heads, so I'm gonna let them step
okay.
in.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anytime you have a Coke, it's full of chemicals. You know, it's not, obviously it's not good for your body. It's your body's having to flush that out. And so there's no telling in that what's in that chemicals that will attach to your minerals and your things inside your body that you need. So yes, it probably is it probably is depleting your supply.
And is it a regular Coke or is it a Diet Coke?
Regular. I won't drink the diet.
Okay. And so, are you drinking sweetened tea as well?
If I drink, I drink it half and half. I don't drink it sweet.
Right.
And it's not every day, but I can notice it if I go for several days without having anything, and then all of a sudden one day I'll have something. I can feel it.
Right.
And
right.
I don't know what
that in your body's not probably used to. If you go for so long without drinking it, it's something foreign in your body that you're not used to ingesting.
But here's a really good point, Linda. You know, I'm glad that you bring this up because, you know, in mental health, what we need to do is pay attention to those clues from our body.
Right. You know, that's the mind of...
Yeah, the wisdom of the body is internal, and it is always showing us what it doesn't like, what it does like. And if we would just pay attention to those clues, then we're going to be healthier.
My suggestion is just don't drink it.
Yeah.
Well, and that's why, you know, just, you know, certain things, tacos or, you know, I'm not a drinker, you know, but so if I don't drink tea, I guess if I don't drink a Coke, then my one treat to me.
Right.
You know,
you should always allow yourself a treat. Don't, you know, don't
deprive
cut yourself.
Yourself
yeah.
Right.
Don't deprive yourself.
So here's a mental trick you can do, Linda, and, you know, the rest of the listeners do this as well. Whenever you're doing a behavior or something that you are wanting to change, tell yourself, just in your mind, this is the most loving thing I can do for my body.
Right.
And that kind of bypasses the ego and the inner child that's like, no, 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 I want it. I always have a Coke with my taco. It bypasses that egoic mind. And at some point, the subconscious will say, whoa, I don't like Coke. I don't like how I feel. And you will totally lose your desire for that Coke. Just try it. It's amazing.
There was a time years ago, I went about 3 months without having anything. And then the first time I had something, I thought, oh my gosh, this is just so sweet.
Right.
I can't believe, you know, that your taste buds change, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I also, I've heard that and read that both of these things, they can be dehydrating to your body. So
very dehydrating.
The sugar,
drink more water too. So I guess it's a, like you were saying, you know, don't deprive yourself totally, but try to be good to yourself.
Yes, limit it.
Yeah, try to find a balance between those two things.
Well, caffeine is a dehydrator. Caffeine will dehydrate you. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's probably why you're feeling a little bit of that, too.
Well, I just hope I can get back in. I know how to get back into working out because I know how good I felt and good about just everything.
Just take it slow. Don't try and overdo it. If you think you're going in there for a big workout, cut it down.
Right.
You know, get in there slow and work yourself up.
Right. So, well, I just had just gotten in my car, just turned on the radio, so I'm going to turn it back on and listen to everything else you have to say. But I appreciate you taking my call.
Sure. Thank you for calling, Linda. And we would like to invite our listeners to call in with their comments and their questions at 1-800-552-8502. And so, Danielle, you were talking about taking it slow. So what I usually tell my patients is, what do you know you can do? Like, tell me what is going to be easy.
Well, okay, so taking it slow means, like, you might know how to do that exercise, mm-hmm. but you have to remember that your body has not done that move in a long time.
Yeah.
So that muscle is going to freak out, and you're going to have this lactic acid buildup in there, and you're going to be super sore, and you're going to not want to ever go back if you don't go small. You know, you start out with maybe doing a little bit of total body, maybe two sets of just small things that you're comfortable doing, and then, you know, each week maybe increase a little bit, change it a little bit. You know, you have to go slow, because otherwise you'll never want to go back to the gym ever.
And so when you say total body, are you saying work a little on the arms and a little on the
Just your total body, just kind of go in there and do a little arms, a little bit of legs. Legs is what everybody likes to avoid because they hurt, you know. So, but it's one of the most important things on your body. You know, you build a house from the foundation up. If you want a sturdy house, you're going to have a sturdy foundation. So you want, like, that's how you should view your body. If you want a sturdy body, then you start with your legs, and then you go to your back, and those are the main two big groups, and then you start working on the rest of it.
So sometimes I will give my patients this advice, and you can tell me if I'm giving them poor advice. So people who have been inactive, like really inactive, very sedentary lifestyle, I will tell them to try to just incorporate things in their day.
Right. Just get up and move.
Yeah. So when you go to Walmart, park far away.
Right.
And when you return your cart, return it to the farthest cart return. Just doing little things and gradually building
That's kind of where you're going to change your mindset too.
Yeah.
Doing those little small things. And then, you know, maybe you could start doing a little bit of home exercise. Something very easy, or squats on the chair. Stand up and down from the chair.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing crazy. Just sit down on the chair, stand up. Sit down on the chair, stand up. You know, small things, mm-hmm. you know. And then, you know, you can start building from there. Make it a little more difficult, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, that's good. Just start somewhere, you know, walking a little bit further than what you would normally walk, you know, anything.
Yeah. So we have another caller. We have Stacy from Ruston. Stacy, go right ahead with your question or comment.
Hello. I work with senior adults, and I'm an activities director. I do give them 30 minutes of seated exercise every day, as they most often are on a walker or on a cane. And we do break it up into about 10 to 12 minutes working on stretching legs, lifting weights, and resistance bands. I do know that some of my residents have complained of bouts of depression, and some of those are the ones who don't exercise with me. What is a small or an easy exercise or plan, as you were mentioning, for some of my residents who don't do anything? We can walk around our facility. They don't really want to. What is some kind of a seated exercise that I might introduce to them that's not as strenuous as what I normally have?
I mean, is it maybe more their mindset that they just don't want to work out, or is it just that?
That's usually what I have. They just say, oh, no, I don't want to do that. I even have some that were coaches or PE teachers, and they do not want to do that now.
Right.
I can get them for some minor activities, like when we have someone come sing or play music, they'll come out for that. But I cannot draw them into another activity. If there was something I might could do with them, maybe in their room, in their comfort zone, that might could help them with a little exercise to, as you say, increase those chemicals in your body that help get rid of that depression.
Yeah, and that's it's hard because, you know, it's kind of like a vicious cycle. You feel depressed, so then you're lethargic. You don't want to do anything, and so then you start withdrawing, and then you become more depressed. So, to any suggestions?
Well, my thought is maybe try make a game, you know, make some kind of activity that's fun. And trick them that they're actually working out, you know.
You
come up with some kind of fun little game to where it makes them do something. If you're going to do some one-on-one, if they're more comfortable with that, then just start with the basics. Like I said, just have them stand up out of the chair and sit down in the chair. You know, of course, holding their if they have to have some kind of stability thing, have them hold on to that, you know, and then, you know, just small little things. I'm sure you know what they can and can't do, but those resistance bands are very good. But I think it's more of a mental thing probably with them, you know, not that, and it, like you said, they're depressed, but if you maybe make it fun, you know, not exercise time, try to make it a game, something that they might enjoy, an activity together, you know.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, and then, you know, the social interaction, too, is going to help with their depression, getting them out of their room and getting them interacting with people. And if you can get them active, too, that's even better. So thank you for that tip, Danielle. Stacy, thank you. Thank you for your call. We appreciate it. I want to invite our listeners to also call with their question or comment. The number is 1-800-552-8502. Tonight we are talking about holistic mental health. So we were talking about, you know, how to get rolling. So can you start that small and it make a difference?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, you can. You know, start anywhere, you know. They are, you know, that people say, it's, you know, walking into the gym is one step more than somebody sitting on the couch, or, you know, walking around your house. You're not just sitting there. Mm-hmm. You know, you baby steps.
Yeah.
I always tell everybody start small, you know, because I mean, I remember whenever I first started working out and I went to some kind of crazy boot camp thing, and I was so sore and miserable the next week. Like, it took a whole week to get over it, and I didn't want to go back. I didn't go back, you know. Yeah. So you can't be miserable, you know. You don't want to make yourself miserable doing any kind of activity.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, and I know, you know, I hadn't really ever been to the gym before, and so you know, going into the gym can be intimidating,
right?
You know, but I haven't found that anybody looks at me strange, you know,
no.
Like points,
no.
Or anything,
no.
You know, I mean, everybody has been
right.
Very nice. And
everybody's there to achieve kind of the same goal,
yeah.
To get better, you know, get physically better. you know, gyms, a lot of people are scared of them, and they're like, oh, it's so big, I don't want to go in there, I don't know anybody, they're going to look at me, I don't have workout clothes, I don't have this, you know, I got to put all my makeup on, you know, like, people really don't, they don't care, really. They're in there to get sweaty and nasty and dirty too, you know, so as far as that goes, it's not a big deal, you know, but, the gym is intimidating. I mean, it is, but everybody's usually friendly, you know, nice, you know, they're not what everybody has made them out to be, you know, the big jerks that are all on steroids, mm-hmm. and yeah. you know, things like that.
Yeah, but I haven't, and no. I go in there looking pretty scary, right. and nobody like runs out.
Right, exactly. yeah. Oh, I get pretty scary in there too, so it's not.
So, Danielle, we have a caller, a listener from Dallas, who would like to have you talk a little bit about starting small. You'd said just kind of do a couple of reps. Would you talk to us about what that means?
Okay, a couple of reps. Okay, so pick an exercise, say we're working, starting out on some legs, you're gonna do maybe two sets of like between 5 to 10 reps, you know, and on a light weight, you know, the first set you'll do something light, and then maybe bump it up just a little bit and do that, you know. So starting out very small, you know, the reps are how many repetitions you're going to mm-hmm. do. Sets are the actual activity and how many sets of those repetitions you're going to do.
Yeah, so like with me, you'll usually have me do, you know, one
the leg extensions.
Yeah, and I'll do that, you know, 10 or 15 times, and
right.
then I'll do something else 10 or
right.
15 times, and then
and
we
then
do that
back.
Again. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Alternate.
So, and this listener, she has some weight machines at home and a treadmill. So, should she be doing the weightlifting and the cardio? Is that important to do both?
I do. If you're trying to lose the weight, yes. I would start out with your weights first, because you want more energy to lift those weights, and then you can go and kind of mindlessly do your cardio, because mm-hmm. that's kind of, you put your earphones on and walk or run or whatever, you know, it's not something that you have to use a lot of brain power, you know, concentrating on. Mm-hmm. So I always work out with the weights first, and then I go into the cardio.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I want to invite our other listeners to call with a question or a comment, 1-800-552-8502. We're talking about holistic mental health. So different people have different goals. So, and you talked a little bit about weight loss, and then so the various goals that people have, whether it's weight loss or just building muscle or whatever, can you talk a little bit about how one might achieve those different?
Yeah, it's going to depend on a lot on your diet, too. Obviously, if you're trying to lose weight, cut down, you're going to have a less caloric diet. If you're trying to build the muscle, you're going to eat a little bit more, you know, because honestly, to have muscle, you have to have fat, you know, so you can't just be super lean and expect to grow muscle, you know, so you want to get your fat count down to normal range, you know. I mean, I think the average for women is like 25. Men's a little.
So when you say that, what do you mean?
Body fat percent.
Okay.
Men, it's a little bit lower. I'm not sure, maybe 17 to 20. I can't remember. But you, to build muscle, like I said, you have to have a little bit of fat. You're going to eat a little bit more food, but you want to keep the food quality, you know, your protein. You want to have 1 gram of protein per body pound. You have your good carbs, which are like sweet potatoes, red potatoes, oats. There's Ezekiel bread, you know, just jasmine rice, you know, just the good quality carbs that are harder to break down, you know, not the processed
and
stuff.
I try the jasmine rice. That's, I love it.
Yes. It's the best thing.
Yeah, it is.
You will never want to eat plain white rice again. But, yeah, back to that, you know, you just want to have quality diets, you
so
know.
So not empty calories.
Yes, not empty calories.
Yeah.
You know.
So if someone is wanting weight loss, they're going to need to, of course, worry about their diet, and then
right.
also do some exercises. Is that going to be more weightlifting or cardio or both?
Both.
Okay.
You know, like for me, to get ready for a competition, to do bodybuilding competition, I increase my cardio, but I keep my weight training the same. It doesn't ever change. Everybody's like, oh, so you're training again. I'm always training. I'm always working out with the weights. I might not do as much cardio as I would getting ready for the competition to cut down. Whereas like in the off season, I cut my cardio way down. You know, I don't do near as much. So that I can work on building up the muscle areas that I want to build.
So, Denise, I want to talk to you a little bit about your work. And, you know, it encompasses a wide variety of energy-based healing modalities. And I wanted you to just talk a little. This is a new area for me, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners. So just kind of explain to us what all it is that you do.
It's like I was saying earlier, if you think about me as a body electrician, I use a form of kinesiology or muscle testing to test muscle strength and muscle weakness. So if a person has a trapped emotion, for example, and I'm muscle testing, the arm goes weak. If an organ is imbalanced, when I touch the organ and I muscle test, the arm goes weak. So that gives me
I need to come see you.
That gives me an indication of, you know, where the issues are in the body. So with the muscle testing, it kind of bypasses just kind of my wisdom and what I think might be going on with that person. I'm actually allowing the body to communicate to me through muscle testing to let me know what it's stressed about. And it's an interesting way of working. And so many times people will say, wow, you know, I haven't thought about that issue in years. But once we clear it, it dissolves whatever, you know, the issue was.
So when you say muscle testing, explain that to me. What does that mean? Or what would I see you doing?
I use a form of surrogation testing, and I use my finger.
Okay.
So I put my index finger on top of my middle finger, and I press with my index on my middle. So when I press, if it's a yes response, if I say, my name is Denise, and I press, it stays strong. But if I say, my name is Shelley, it goes weak, right? So if I'm asking a question, you are male? No. You are female? Yes. So if I'm asking, you know, if you come to me, you know, you're working on your resistance to going to the gym and working out, well, what's the underlying issue that's contributing to that resistance? And the one of the programs that I enjoy using is a body code program. It's a computerized program that's kind of like a flow chart. And we look at areas in terms of energy, which can contain things like trapped emotions, something called addictive heart energy. And that's an interesting one. It comes up a lot. Addictive heart energy is like the heart's desperation to be loved and experience joy. And if you think about addictions, we do those addictions because we get something back from it. But when it comes to addictive heart energy, it's like, how many ways do you say yes when you mean no? And, you know, in terms of stress, oh, my gosh, right? So it's all wrapped up into that. There's so many areas. It's not just one thing that's that can, you know, cause the whole system to go out of balance.
And you were talking to me about, you know, you do acupuncture, but you don't use needles.
Right.
So talk a little bit about that. Explain how that works and what exactly you do.
Okay. In the health kinesiology system, it was based on a modality called Touch for Health, which, again, used this kinesiology, this muscle testing. And the acupuncture system is a brilliant system that's been in use for over 5,000 years. So we use basically that map of the energy body, and we touch those acupressure points very, very lightly. But within the modality itself, it has a method for touching specific points on the body. We call them reflexes. And if the muscle goes weak, it means there's not enough energy getting to that outlet, that circuit. And then we touch another point that's called an element, and that tells us what meridian is out of balance that needs to be retuned. So that's essentially what we're doing, is we're retuning the body in the face of a stress. And it can be a mental stress. It can be an emotional stress, like trapped emotions. It can be a physical stress. The organs, could not be getting all the energy that they need to function properly. But that imbalance can be caused because of a trapped emotion, because of what mental processes was going on in their mind that blew that organ.
Mm-hmm. blew that fuse.
Yeah, exactly.
So when you say trapped emotions, I know kind of from a mental health standpoint, kind of what that means to me, but in the work that you do, what does that mean, a trapped emotion?
Normally, I'm using my little chart, and it makes it very quick and simple, and I'm doing this muscle testing, and so I narrow it down to what the trapped emotion is, and let's say the emotion is anger. And I'll ask the body through this muscle testing process, how old were you when that emotion of anger got trapped? And it's not going to be like every experience of anger, because we experience it on multiple levels and multiple circumstances. But in relation to the goal that we're working on or the issue that we're addressing, what's the trapped emotion? It's anger. Okay, how old were you? Oh, I was 20 years old, and now I'm 50. Okay, so I asked the person, what was happening in your life at that time when you were around 20? And it could be plus or minus a year. And so normally the person will just they'll think about it for a minute, and they'll go, oh my God, that's when my boyfriend Joe was cheating on me.
Right.
And I was so angry. And so, we bring up whatever the emotion is, where they feel it in their body, and I have them focus on that energy, because the word anger is just a word. It's the mental process behind it, the circumstance that happened. And then I use this big magnet roller on the spine, which in Chinese medicine is the governing meridian, which is fascinating because it actually intersects with all the other energy meridians or energy lines of the body. And what does a magnet do if you rub it over a credit card? It's magnetic, so it deactivates it. So essentially, we're just erasing that energy. And the person, it's like, I do this magnet roller, and they say, wow, I feel so much lighter. And that like punch in the gut sensation I had 2 seconds ago is gone. It's really amazing.
So, and when you say energy meridians, what do you mean? Are those like energy pathways, or what does that mean?
They are energy pathways. If you think about the wiring in a house, for example, you've got the main fuse box, and you've got wires that go all the way through the house that power the outlets and the light switches and all of that. Well, those meridians are like those power conduits that channel energy throughout the body. And the acupressure points are like the outlet or the light switch.
So for someone who is frightened of needles, this would be an alternative to acupuncture, the acupressure. Am I using the correct terminology?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And it's not even pressure. It's actually just very light touch on acupressure points. Sometimes we do tapping. I've got these, I've got different tools that I use, and the magnets are one. I've got these things that I purchased called cosmic batteries that help to retune and balance the energy. Everything is energy, so we can use a multitude of things, from essential oils, crystals, thoughts, because they create energy waves.
Right. Sure. So and I was going to ask you about energetic healing, but that sounds like what you just you just described. Got to it before I got to it. So, but how do we become blocked? How does that happen?
Well, life. Uh-huh. It's like the example I gave. 20 years old, boyfriend Joe, you found out he was, cheating on you. So you got angry, and you never processed that anger. You balled it up, and all balled up in that is probably unforgiveness, disbelief. So many trapped emotions can get all balled up in that one energy, that one experience. And we should process it, within a couple of days, a couple of weeks or months or years. But especially with unforgiveness, if we don't truly forgive, then it just stays there. So what the energy therapy can do essentially is help to bring that energy up and very safely and gently, compassionately release it without all of the trauma and drama of having to like relive, you know, all of the emotion. And, you know, I won't say who, but anyway, this one person, when I first started working with them, would cry every time. So that person got to the point where they didn't want me to work on them anymore because they didn't want to cry. And I'm like, but crying is good. You're releasing.
Releasing.
Yeah. Sometimes my patients will apologize for crying. I'm like, no, that you needed to do that. And right. this is a good place to do it.
That's, yeah.
Yeah. So, I sometimes talk to my patients about unpacking their baggage, you know, and kind of my goal is that this backpack that they have that's kind of full of emotional rocks, you know, that we kind of take those rocks out one by and it does it. They describe a feeling of lightness, a feeling lighter,
right?
Freer.
Yeah.
Interesting. So we've talked about all these things, but how do we incorporate them into the holiday season when we've got all these millions of things going on? Any quick and dirty kind of suggestions?
You just have to make time. You have to slow down and make time. That's one of the biggest, even not in holiday season. Everybody's like, oh, I'm just too busy. You have to, for yourself, for your mental state, you know, for your physical state, for all of that, you have to make time. You know, you can only do so much. If you're not healthy, body and mind, then you won't be able to achieve anything for anybody else. You know, you'll break down, you know, you won't be able to take care of your kids or cook dinner for the family or, you know, go shopping. You just won't be able to. You have to take the time, an hour, if 30 minutes, it doesn't take that long to just focus on yourself.
Yeah. I want to invite our listeners to call in with your question or comment. The number is 1-800-552-8502. And this evening we are talking about holistic mental health during this busy holiday season. So, Danielle, you were talking about, you know, taking time. And so sometimes I will talk to my patients about, you know, invest your energy well.
Right.
So instead of investing your energy over worrying,
focusing on the negative, yes.
Yeah, take that energy and put it into something that's actually going to pay off and be productive.
Right.
Because a lot of times the people that come in to see me, they're mothers, they have, right, you know, jobs that are stressful and lives that are very full. And so it really is, if you're not taking care of yourself, there are all these other people that are depending on you.
Right. You can't take care of them. I am a very busy person. I have 4 kids. I also do hair and I personal train, you know, that my kids have activities, you know, I still have a whole household I have to run, you know. So it's like, I have to take that time. I schedule it. I have an appointment book. I schedule it out. I put it on the schedule. You know, if that's what you need to do, that, you know, do it, you know. But if I don't take the time to work on the things that I need to work on, then nothing else is going to get done.
We really do have to put ourselves first. And as women, especially mothers,
right,
you know, we're always the last one.
Yes.
And at the end of the day, we don't have any energy
anything
left
to
for ourselves.
Give, nothing to give, you right. know. So whether it be early in the morning, I'm not a morning person, but, you know, whether it be early in the morning or, you know, mid-morning or after lunch, you know, take a little bit of time. It really doesn't require a lot.
Right. And I've got an energy technique that I can describe that people can do.
Yeah, go ahead.
And we did it at the beginning because Danielle and I were like a little bit nervous.
You know,
we haven't done this. So I'm like, just tap on your thymus. And so she's like, oh, I do that naturally. And, you know, our body, again, this is the wisdom of her body telling her, you know, naturally she just would tap on her thymus. But we do so many things. We rub our forehead. Those are the neurovascular points. If you rub your forehead.
I do this.
Yeah.
Here.
And rub behind your ears and down the side of your neck. And, I mean, that just calms and sedates your nervous system. So those are little, you know, things that you can do. And what I like to do when I'm tapping on my thymus especially is like, I am calm. I am balanced. Mm-hmm. You know, so you're just like reminding your body, okay, be calm, right. Be balanced.
Right. Okay, so those of us who don't know where our thymus is.
Okay. So if you find that sternum notch, that little dip at the base of your throat, mm-hmm. right, and then you've got your collarbones on either side, just below, right in the middle of your chest, above the heart, is where the thymus is.
Okay.
And you tap, you know, if you start in the middle, you go to the left shoulder and then down to the bottom and around to the right.
Okay. So
and it's ideal,
in a circular motion.
Okay. Uh-huh, and it's ideal if you use all five of your fingertips. And you're not like beating your chest like King Kong. You're just tapping very gently. Mm-hmm. And what's happening is we've got energy, 12 energy meridians, 6 on the left side of the body and 6 on the right. So when you're tapping around the thymus, you're actually tapping on each of those meridians. So you're actually balancing the whole body energetically.
We have Mary Ann from Lufkin. Go right ahead with your question or comment, Mary Ann.
Hi. Well, I've been listening to you all the way in on my drive from Tyler, Texas today. And I want to say thank you. Your program is fascinating.
Thank you.
And I wanted to know how to, where you're located or how to get an appointment or get a book or get something on the energy healing.
Well, I work out of Acupuncture Shreveport, which is in Shreveport. It's over on Line Avenue. And you can call the office number for an appointment, which I'll go ahead and give that to the, mm-hmm. the it's area code 318-459-9125. And I do work with an acupuncturist. It's actually her office. I rent space. So if you're interested in acupuncture, you know, you can make an appointment for acupuncture as well. And you can make an appointment with me for energy healing.
Is there anywhere that people can go to get additional information just to educate themselves about this?
Yes. My website is thepowerofhealing.us. U.S.
Okay.
And I've got lots of information about the different modalities that I do. And ShreveportAcupuncture.org is also a website, you know, for the Acupuncture mm-hmm. Shreveport office.
Mary Ann, did that answer your question? Did you have another question?
No. I've had acupuncture before, actually, in London and then in New York City. And I love the results, but I just didn't know anywhere closer by that mm-hmm. would be a little more convenient.
Well, thank you for calling in, Mary Ann. We appreciate it. Daniil, why don't you give your information if somebody wants to get in touch with you and talk a little more about fitness and getting into shape and staying in shape?
Okay. I train out of the Sportsplex in Bossier City, Louisiana. You could call me or text me on my cell phone. I have 318-210-1988. Chase, my boyfriend, he's also the co-owner of DC Bodies. He is a fitness expert. I call him the walk-in encyclopedia of fitness because if I have any questions, he can answer them. But he also is a trainer. His number is 318-470-2151. And we're always open for, you can text us or call us or anything like that.
And you can help with the physical fitness and then also make some suggestions
yes.
as far as dietary
nutrition.
Changes and,
yes.
and things like that.
Right.
Okay. So we're getting close. We've got a few more minutes. So any take-home messages? What do you feel like the listeners need to know, remember, really be focusing on?
Let me go first.
Yeah.
The holidays don't have to be stressful. Yeah, there's so many things out there that you can do to de-stress yourself, you know, like the tapping on the thymus, rubbing your forehead, rubbing your hands behind your ears, and just, you know, telling your body to be calm and to relax is so powerful. And, you know, if you're not sure about it and you want some help and you want to learn about, you know, energy therapy and how it can help improve your life or break a habit or, you know, I just had a client that got a new job because of the work that we did. We just cleared all the blockages and he got his ideal job. So, you know, it can work in any area of your life. And we're there to help you.
And we're proof that there are many different ways to get there.
Yes.
You know, because here we all do
right.
different things. But really, I mean, what we do is help people feel better,
right.
be healthier, manage their stress, be happier, you know,
right.
live a good life.
Live an overall better life.
Yeah.
Yes.
Daniil, What's your take-home message?
I mean, just like she said, the holidays don't have to be stressful. If you can get moving and just of any sort of activity, you know, I from personal experience, it clears my mind. It helps me de-stress. You know, I can get more things done and I feel more focused, you know. I mean, just anything, really.
Yeah. I usually tell people to get more comfortable with saying no.
Right.
You know, learn how to say no.
You can't do it all.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you can't do it all.
You can. No. And it's okay to be a little selfish sometimes.
Right.
In order to maintain your health and your sanity.
Right.
Right.
And especially during the holidays, we do a lot of saying yes.
Yes. Because you don't want to hurt people's feelings.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know, you can come to someone like me and I will teach you how to say no.
Right.
And try not to hurt their feelings as best you can.
Can we do a quick exercise?
Sure.
This is really simple. So let's say we have a trapped emotion of guilt, because that's why we don't say no, mm-hmm. is because we feel guilty, right? So I want everybody to just tune into their body and think about somebody's asked you to do something. You know you need to say no. You want to say no, but you feel guilty. Where in your body do you feel the guilt?
The stomach.
In my stomach. Yeah, that's where mm-hmm. I feel it too. You, Shelley?
Mm-hmm.
So our bodies are electromagnetic. So rather than having to use a magnet, we can use our hands to clear the energy. And the governing meridian, kind of, we can put our hands on our forehead and then just rub our hand over the top of our head to the back of our neck and do that several times as you're focusing on that guilt. So I hope all of you listeners are doing this as well.
We need a video footage.
No,
yeah. So we're all three rubbing our hands.
Our hand is on our forehead and we're just rubbing it over the top center of the head, down the back of the head, down to the neck. And you focus on that guilt and it just, how do you feel?
Yeah. It does. It eases it up.
Isn't it amazing?
It's crazy, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for that. Well, thank y'all both. I think that I've learned a lot, and I hope that the listeners have learned a lot, and hopefully we can all put some of these things to good use during this particularly stressful time of the year, and, you know, maybe get a new habit going and continue it throughout
the year. It doesn't have to start at New Year's.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
most New Year's resolutions don't make it past the first few days.
Yeah. So. And we're here to help.
Yes, definitely.
Health Matters is a program for informational purposes only. For all health questions, you should consult a physician or health professional. The views and opinions expressed on Health Matters may not necessarily reflect those of Red River Radio, its staff, or LSUS. This show is available for download from redriverradio.org. Health Matters is a production of Red River Radio. The producer is Renee Moran, with production assistance provided this evening by Tim Snell and Sheila Lawrence. Support for this program comes from the Knoll Foundation and also from the Community Foundation of North Louisiana. Please join us next Thursday for Health Matters. I'm Dr. Shelley Visconti. Thank you for joining us this evening.